Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to the Financial Times Big Read, a weekly podcast featuring the best of our long-form reporting from around the world. I'm Madison Derbyshire from the Comment and Analysis Desk. If you like the Big Read and want to be notified when new episodes are released, please subscribe below. In this episode, we travel to the tropical rainforests of Brazil. Amazonian deforestation has worsened in the past 5 years, and 95% of it is illegal. Now, Joe Leahy and Andres Chapani report how uncertainty in the region has strengthened political ruralistas as China's trade appetites for food turn Brazil into an agricultural superpower.
Abílio Iquiziri saw the smoke rising over the Amazonian town of Humaitá before he saw the angry mob. Illegal miners were burning the local offices of IBAMA, Brazil's environmental agency, in retaliation for the destruction of boats they were using to dredge for gold in the region's rivers. Mr. Iquiziri, a ranger with Brazil's National Parks Agency, feared his office would be next and gave the order to evacuate just as the mob came around the corner. Mr. Iquiziri says, "A man began bashing on our car, so I pulled my gun." The attacker withdrew and the ranger reached safety, but not before the miners had burned his and IBAMA's offices. Even weeks after the attacks last October, the damage is still starkly apparent. The buildings of both organizations are blackened shells, their vehicles charred wrecks. Surrounded by forest reserves and near the juncture of two highways, Humaitá is the gateway to Amazonas, a state nearly the size of Alaska that is the heartland of the Brazilian Amazon region. Brazil's so-called arc of deforestation, a front that stretches along the southern fringe of the Amazon from the coast to Bolivia, cutting Latin America's largest country in half, has so far spared much of Amazonas. Yet now, due to political uncertainty after the impeachment and ousting of former President Dilma Rousseff in 2016, and with Brazil facing its most unpredictable elections in decades, the Amazon is again looking vulnerable. Led by crooked loggers, miners, smallholders and ranchers, and with infrastructure projects such as highways and dams opening new areas to incursions, up to 95% of deforestation in the region is illegal and 80% of it becomes pasture for cattle, environmental officials say. While deforestation in Brazil remains much lower than at its peak in 2004, when an area bigger than Macedonia was cut down, activity has increased since 2012. Achilles Mascarenhas, chief ranger in the Jamari National Forest in the Amazonian state of Rondônia, says, "The arc of deforestation is a war zone. It has worsened in the past 10 years, and it will continue to get worse." Critics argue the uncertainty has strengthened conservative elements in Congress, particularly the ruralistas, politicians representing rural interests, as China's insatiable desire for food turns Brazil into an agricultural superpower. It means October's general election is important not only for the political future of Latin America's biggest country, but also the world's largest rainforest and one of its main bulwarks against climate change, activists say. The world will be watching particularly closely after last year, the second hottest on record, when Arctic ice areas hit historic lows, hurricanes ripped through the Caribbean, and fires raged in California. Saulo Rodrigues Filho of the University of Brasilia and author of a study that found political uncertainty leads to higher deforestation, says The illegal actors in the Amazon can practically feel this fragility, and they make the most of these moments, resulting in sudden spurts of deforestation. He says 2018 and 2019 will be dangerous years, indeed, for the Amazon. Until 2012, Brazil seemed on track to meet its international climate change commitment of zero illegal deforestation by 2030 and a national target of reducing deforestation to no more than 3,900 square kilometres a year by 2020. Through tough enforcement, Brazil slashed its deforestation rate by 83% to 4,571 square kilometres a year between 2004 and 2012, according to figures from IMPI, the government's Satellite Space Research Institute. Having crept up after 2012, deforestation then reignited, reaching 7,893 square kilometres between August 2015 and July 2016. Last year, it fell 16% as the economy slumped and Obama cracked down, but it remains high compared with 2012. Carlos Nobre, a leading climate scientist, says, "There's no reason to believe that in 3 years, Brazil will manage to reduce deforestation from more than 6,000 to 8,000 square kilometres a year to 3,900 square kilometres. The challenge will be even greater for 2030 unless there is a very clear change in environmental policy, and that will only become clear when we know who will be elected in 2018. In the early polls, the two most prominent candidates are ultra-right-wing politician Jair Bolsonaro and the left-wing former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who faces 10 years in prison if his appeal against a corruption conviction is not upheld. Analysts expect other candidates to emerge, but whoever wins is likely to face a fractured Congress in which conservative fronts wield outsized influence, especially given the relative decline of Ms. Rousseff's and Mr. Lula da Silva's Leftist Workers' Party, or PT. These groups include the Ruralista bloc, with 228 lawmakers, or 44% of the lower house of Congress, and more than a quarter of the Senate, with two other cross-party conservative blocs, the Public Security Front, with 299 lawmakers, and the Evangelical Front, with 199, the three groups are known as the Bull, Bullet and Bible and comprise a formidable force in Congress. Confúcio Aires Moura, governor of the Amazonian state of Rondônia, once a Ruralista congressman himself, says, "The rural front is powerful. To argue with the parliamentary agricultural front is to waste time." In Congress, the rural sector punches far above its weight in a society that is 86% urban. The reason is simple. Agriculture is a star of Brazil's economy. From being a net importer of food grains in the 1970s, agribusiness today contributes 42% of exports, according to Government Research Institute, IPEA. In the third quarter of last year, agribusiness grew 9.1% compared with a year earlier, helping Brazil to recover from its worst recession in history. The country is now the largest producer of sugar, orange juice, chicken and coffee, and one of the biggest in soybeans, beef and other commodities. Luiz Antonio Francisco Covachi, a Ruralista lawmaker from the southern state of Rio Grande do Sul, says, "Brazil has the potential to be a China of agriculture," comparing it with China's dominance in manufacturing. The rise of the Ruralistas has not been lost on Michel Temer, Brazil's current centre-right president. Accused of corruption in May last year, he survived two congressional votes on whether he should face trial, partly with the help of the Ruralistas. Critics say that in return he has passed or attempted to pass a series of laws over the past 18 months that activists argue benefit farmers and miners at the expense of deforestation. Among the most controversial is MP 759, which allows irregular occupants of government land to obtain titles at discounted prices. Dubbed the Land Grabbers Law by prosecutors, it will encourage further invasions of public land in the Amazon, they say. The government defended it as helping the landless poor. Other measures introduced by Mr. Temer last year include attempts to reduce the size of conservation reserves, ease environmental licensing, and proposals to weaken indigenous rights and open Indian territories to mining and agribusiness, according to the Zero Deforestation Working Group, which includes the Worldwide Fund for Nature, Greenpeace, and the Nature Conservancy. Brazil has 10 million hectares of abandoned land that could be used for agricultural production rather than deforest further, the group says. A senior official at the Environment Ministry says, "We are suffering a lot of pressure from the ruralistas. We are living in a parliamentary dictatorship." Mr. Temer has not had it all his own way. He was forced to back down on an attempt to change the boundaries of one forest reserve, Jamanxing, after widespread public opposition. In its defence, the Temer government points to the fall in deforestation last year. Officials from Obama and the Environment Ministry privately acknowledge efforts by his Environment Minister, José Sani Filho, to work behind the scenes against the worst measures demanded by Congress. Mr. Sani Filho says, "The best way that we can meet our objectives is if we can make people aware that the forest is worth more standing than cut down." For their part, the ruralistas say they are against illegal deforestation, and they say that critics are armchair environmentalists. Nilson Leitão, leader of the front, wants to open Indian reserves, which are usually off-limits, to farming and mining. He says, "Many people say that they are environmentalists, but they live in apartments with television and the internet. The one who preserves the springs, the forest, is the producer." Back in the Amazon, the war against environmental crimes continues. Irang Mendes, a parks agency officer, jumps from his car, pistol drawn, accompanied by a team of five elite special operations police armed with automatic weapons. Their target is a suspected illegal cassiterite mine bordering Jamari National Park in Rondônia State. The makeshift-looking mine with tarpaulin lean-tos has devastated a stream next to the park, creating a huge mud pile. The mine supervisor shows Mr. Mendes an environmental license, but a GPS reading indicates the mine should be 2 kilometres further away. Mr. Mendes tells the supervisor, "Send me all the documentation," and threatens an investigation. Despite this show of force, frontline conservation agents, such as Mr. Mendes, are pessimistic, complaining of a lack of resources. In Rondônia and surrounding states, ICMBio, the National Parks Agency, has only 30 rangers to cover 4 million hectares of parks. A report on Ibama by the government comptroller, the CGU, found that between 2010 and 2016, the number of field officers working for the agency dropped 26% to 965. The criminals, on the other hand, are highly organized, well-armed and motivated, especially illegal loggers. Daniel Azevedo Lobo, a public prosecutor in Rondônia, says, "We have various politicians who are financed by the timber sector. That's a fact." He says Brazil needs a lava jato, or car wash, of the environment, referring to the landmark investigation into political corruption that has rocked Brazil over the past 4 years. Prosecutors and officers also complain that even when federal agencies crack down, local and state governments often step in to help the perpetrators. After the Humaitá incident, the state government of Amazonas granted licenses to some of the miners involved in an attempt to legalize their activities, saying the town depended on the industry. Federal prosecutors are indicting the miners and have won a court challenge against the granting of those licenses. Opinion polls indicate that most Brazilians support conservation efforts, yet most frontline officials say that unless the election produces politicians willing to take a harder line on deforestation, the long-term future is bleak. An Obama officer in Umaita, who was in the agency's office when it was set alight, says, "While there is forest, people will not stop cutting it down." He escaped with a security guard who fired into the air. The officer says, "Conservation policy today is like trying to use a towel to dry a piece of ice. We are only retarding the process. It will keep melting until there is nothing left."
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.